And welcome. Welcome to the edition of this edition to Money Matters. My name is Mark Cunaberti. Today's show is number 346, which I've entitled Inflation, War, and Oil. So let's get the disclaimers out of the way before we begin today. Again, thanks for joining us. Money Matters is carried close to almost 70 radio stations now nationwide. And so I'm glad to have you here. Show's been on the air since about 2005. So first of all, let's remind you, discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. This show is not meant as investment advice, individual or by group, and investing involves risk. You can lose money, including total loss of principal, but we hope not. And remember, the opinions expressed here are opinions of myself and not necessarily those of this radio station, its staff, members, or underwriters. Okay, Money Matters is about money. As money as matter matters, money affects us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, and in some way or another controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about your life and lives and livelihood. In short, Money Matters is about you, the economic forum of the decade. So I'd like to wish you all happy Fed Week. What do I mean by that? When I refer to Fed on this show, it's usually the Federal Reserve or the Feds in general. But it's the week that the market kind of has been dreading all year. When we finally see what the Federal Reserve does with interest rates, they're going to go up. Pretty much a slam dunk there. But how the market reacts to how far they bring them up remains to be seen. My guess is the usual 0.25% interest rate in the overnight rate. The overnight rate is the rate that banks can borrow from the Federal Reserve for usually a day to fund their operations. Doesn't sound like an interest rate that you would utilize, but it does affect all interest rates for sure. So I think 0.25% is already baked into the pie. If investors haven't panicked over the impending rate hike now, with averages deep in the correction territory, they're running way behind. In other words, what I'm saying is that I think this 0.25% rate increase that we expect is already baked into the market, I think. Now, I think if they do raise rates about 0.5% or more, I don't think they're going to do it more than 0.5%. They would crack this thing wide open if they did. I think if they go 0.5%, you're going to see some market problems. If they go to 0.25%, I think we're going to see a relief rally, is what I think. 0.25%, it happens, the world doesn't come to an end, and people will start buying stocks. That's my opinion. Remember, nobody can forecast market direction. For now, I'm going to go ahead and assume Wednesday's meeting. You're probably hearing this on a Thursday, so it would be yesterday's meeting. Will be a no-surprise event. I record this show a few days before, since COVID, so by the time this comes out, maybe I'll do an update a little bit later in the show. For now, I'm going to go ahead and assume 0.25%. If they go half, I think we'll see some fireworks. It could go either way, with a buy the rumor, sell the news retro move. In other words, the rumor of them raising rates can make market participants sell off the market, and when it happens, they could maybe buy the market. Simply put, the buy the rumor, sell the news means that the fear of the event causes markets to fall. But when the event happens, the unknown is then known, like the Iraq war. We're leading up to the invasion. The market sold off for weeks. And the day the U.S. actually went in, the pressure was, quote, released and the markets rallied. On the market in general, I think, as indicated before, the day after day erosion that we've been seeing about 2 weeks ago was replaced with at least one capitulation event, maybe two. We covered what that was. A capitulation event was a throw your hands up, brutal selling in the market. We saw two of those. And not to say we can't see more erosion, and indeed, earlier this week we did. And even another capitulation sell-off. It all depends on what the Feds do with interest rate and, of course, what Vladimir Putin does in Ukraine. We cannot forecast the will and whims of madman. You know, you got to think, anybody that would bomb a nuclear power plant? I mean, you got to question. I don't think we have to question his sanity. I think we already know he's insane. Meanwhile, earlier in the week, the NASDAQ kept eroding, closing in once again on a previous low. And at some point, this will stop. And it will then probably likely grind around. I don't think we're going to see a V-shape bounce. In other words, it goes down one day, it starts and starts back up. We could, after the COVID 38% sell-off in March of 2020, we did see a V-shape. It fell 40%, 38% in 15 trading days, 21 days altogether, and made a V-recovery, and bang, right back up it went. Nobody expected a V-recovery, but that's what we got. So we may get another one of those, hard to say. The NASDAQ, for the most part, are technology stocks. And they've been beaten up, you know, Zoom, DocuSign, a lot of these companies have been beaten up 70, 80, 90%. Just terrible, terrible beat up. But, even Microsoft and Apple have been beaten up. Those were the darlings, right? But technology is not going away. You know, it's kind of these stocks have been beaten up, DocuSign and Zoom, almost back to where they were when they first started pre-COVID. Kind of like Bitcoin, crazy valuations for DocuSign, Zoom, and a lot of those stocks that were the stay-at-home stocks during COVID. And they've been hammered in what is called earnings compression. Stock is sold off and the earnings ratio, how much they earn versus how much the stock is selling for, goes down. Most high flyers have fallen pretty hard during this sell-off. Except Bitcoin has not fallen to its start levels. I'd have to go back to 6 cents or 60 cents for now. In my opinion, I believe Bitcoin's day will come when it gets creamed. But who knows? My opinion only. Finally, I think there are opportunities in the midst. And again, this is my opinion only and not a solicitation or a suggestion to buy or sell anything. But let's take, for instance, Zoom and DocuSign. These were two of the stay-at-home COVID favorite stocks that doubled, tripled, quadrupled or climbed 500% or more. And now they're right back to where they were, which is gives you a little warning on maybe you stay away from stocks that climb that fast. So yeah, they're almost all the way back to where they were, some below where they were, obliterated by 80% or more. Why? Well, because when COVID started to wane or Omicron and we started to get back to work and people got tired of masking and staying home, the investors thought that the revenue of these companies would fall. We're leaving home, so we're not going to use Zoom anymore. They sold them off thinking that people would go back to work. But I'd like to remind you, the most money is made when you are early to a rally phase, when others see things that you do not. A good example of investors who realized early on, a brilliant move that I missed. People were staying home during the pandemic, and I knew people were eating. So I had bought, you know, Kraft Foods and everything that the store shelves were sold out of. Hormel and Campbell's Soup and Kraft Heinz. I also bought a couple of toilet paper companies, and that didn't work out right away. It was kind of odd. But we had Clorox, so I didn't sell that going into the pandemic. You know, why would you sell a bleach company going into a virus, right? People bought packaged food companies, but a few savvy investors bought a stock that I didn't think of. They bought McCormick's, the historic, iconic company of the spice world, right? McCormick Spices, you probably use them at home. Who would have thought? It is also on the aristocratic stock buy list that I have, which is aristocratic stocks are stocks, companies that raise their annual dividend and have raised them every year for at least 25 years. So if you buy a stock and it pays a dividend and it keeps raising them every year, you get a little bit more. Does it for 25 years, it makes it to the aristocratic stock list. Anyway, people who bought McCormick's early on were rewarded for their foresight. You know, I was thinking people were getting fat. So I said, you know, somewhere late in 2020 or early 2021, I said, oh, they're going to be using Weight Watchers. And I looked at Weight Watchers stocks and people had already beat me to it. So we fast forward to today. Specifically, I'm targeting Zoom and DocuSign because they've fallen almost back to pre-COVID levels because people believe we will not use these services. Zoom is a virtual meetings platform platform, as you know, and DocuSign is for remote signing of documents. So I was reading an article a couple of weeks ago, and this analyst mentioned that as gas skyrockets in price, many people won't be able to afford a long commute. And I thought, investors sold Zoom and DocuSign because COVID was waning and people would use a lot less of these companies. However, with gas prices exploding and people not being able to afford long commutes, what will they use again? You guess it. One day the puzzle pieces will be assembled and the investing public will realize, at least in my opinion, that these two companies and other stay-at-home stocks which have been hammered might start up again, not due to the COVID stay-at-home reasons, but because commuting will cost an arm and a leg. Something to consider. Now, I haven't seen that story out there, and those stocks are at the very bottom. They haven't started to move yet, maybe a little bit, but I think there may be opportunity there for savvy investors. But remember, please, 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 please do your own research before investing. These things could back off of a support level and fall more. Okay, you just don't know. If you bought them and they got cut in half again, remember, markets can stay illogical longer than you can stay liquid. So stocks can fall a lot lower than they think they can fall. But you could make the case. You could start nibbling here. Probably could do worse. Anyway, not a recommendation. My opinion only. Do your own research before investing. And remember, investing involves risk. And obviously, if you've had stocks in the last 12 weeks, you know exactly what I mean. Actually, the NASDAQ fall started mid-November, I think. So there you go. Okay, we'll be right back with more on inflation and oil and energy and where it's all going in just a minute. You're listening to Money Matters on your community radio station. Welcome back. You're listening to Money Matters, edition 346. Today's show entitled Inflation, War, and Oil. So, we talked about the Federal Reserve raising rates, and just out, at least as far as I'm recording this, is they raised rates a quarter of a point, and we had a buy the rumor, sell the news event, apparently. And that is basically, on the good news side, when good news comes out from a company, when the rumor comes out, before it's confirmed, investors can buy the rumor. So they might say, company ABC, hey, is going to come out with a new product. And the stock runs on that rumor. And the ideology, buy the rumor, sell the news, is when the news actually comes out, investors will sell the stock off and people scratch their head and go, huh? So it's buy the rumor, sell the news. That happens a lot in stock market movements. And it happens in the reverse. They sell the rumor, buy the news, or buy the event. So the rumor was like, well, during the Iraq war, before we went into Iraq, the market sold off hard and kept selling off. Oh, we're going to go into Iraq and start a war. And the day we went in, the stock market ran. So I put out just a little bit earlier in the show, and last week as well, and I've done a couple of articles on the buy the rumor, sell the news. You know, one of the things that I was concerned about, I really didn't think war was the main threat to the market, although it's a threat, right? It's war. You never know what that crazy guy's going to do over there. But it's interest rates to address the massive inflation we have. That, in my opinion, was and still is the real threat. And so we knew when inflation got worse and worse and worse that the Feds were going to raise rates. And so the market has been selling off in response to that. And also the war, of course. And so we were waiting, and we kind of knew the Federal Reserve was going to raise it 0.5%. But with the war, we thought, okay, the Fed's going to back off that 0.5% increase in the interest rates, which is one way they slow inflation. And so on the announcement that just came out a little bit ago, the Fed's raised rates 0.25%, not the half. And the market since then has been running and running, right? That was yesterday, Wednesday. And today, the market Thursday is running again. So there you go. Now, that doesn't mean that we have the all clear, right? Okay, we got to be careful there. The all clear is not given by me. And I think anybody that's been around markets for a long time knows the all clear is not to be taken for granted. So we have to be careful. It may not be over, but at least we're getting some green. And I've always said that when you've seen red in your portfolio for months and months and months, and then you finally do see green, it's like getting a new love. The feeling of new love, for sure. You can always, you know, we have a no-cost website. It's our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. It's no cost, nothing. We don't spam your email. And you can get my updates and emails at moneymanagementradio.com, moneymanagementradio.com. And it's our way of saying thank you for listening to the radio station. So moneymanagement.com, moneymanagementradio.com. MoneyManagementRadio.com. You can sign up there. Again, there's no cost or anything like that. I'm prohibited from charging anything, and you won't get spammed or anything. It's just the newsletters and such. And all the shows are on there, too. So the latest statistic coming up from the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta shows U.S. growth at a meager 0.5%, with the official definition of recession being 2/4 of negative economic growth. The current reading of 0.5% is concerning. The official measurement the Bank of Atlanta will publish in about 3 weeks at the beginning of April, I think. But the estimates usually put out by the Fed a couple of weeks early, like this one, are usually fairly accurate. The BLS, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, recently put out a stat that said real incomes year over year have raised 5.1%. Real incomes have increased 5.1% year over year. That is a healthy increase. But it can be deceiving. The increase doesn't factor in current inflation, which is estimated to be about 7%, with some analysts stating it's closer to 10%, which is what I kind of think it is. Whatever the true inflation statistic is, it's the highest in 40 years that we've seen. Not good. Now, discretionary purchases, things that people choose to buy, versus what they must buy. Discretionary is what you elect to buy. Non-discretionary would be like food and gas. So I think non-discretionary purchases will likely go down. But what about the non-discretionary purchases like gasoline? The price of gas, as you probably well know, you may not know the figure, but it's gone up on average of 45%. Probably in the last, I don't know, since the war, for sure. But you could take it back further if you like. Average price a gallon was $2.76 to $4.01. Now, that's probably low, us Californians, right? I paid $6 a gallon for premium. But the national average is a lot lower, and no thanks to a variety of public agencies here in California, and New York has the same sort of people running their state. We've asked them to eliminate the gas tax for now, but it was put forth by the Republican side, but the Democrats killed it, saying they have another plan. So far, we're not going to be getting any relief on that vein. The forecast for gasoline by some analysts is saying $7 or $8. Just in the last month, gas prices have jumped 17%. The increase is so devastating to consumers and the economy in general. Washington has jokingly and figuratively started yelling, drill, baby, drill. What a difference a war makes, right? So we'll see. At current prices, Americans on average are going to have to shell out about an extra $2,000 a year to drive to and fro, amplifying the unfortunate to move away from oil dependence has just come at the wrong time. And we're trying to move away from oil dependence. But, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. With regulatory pressure on oil companies and where they can drill increasing, many oil producing facilities have shut down, honestly. These shutdowns come on top of what was already a global energy shortfall for a variety of reasons, which include the green movement, the COVID shutdowns, labor shortages, and supply problems all have led to a reduction in energy production. Now, Russia has huge oil reserves and manufacturing facilities, which are now also off limits due to the Ukrainian conflict. And one could say a perfect storm may be brewing to bring about even more inflation. Keep in mind, much of what is consumed by the world is oil-based, right? The list of things made from oil or oil derivatives is too long for me to list here in the show, but the odds are you use more things made from oil than not. With the price of oil skyrocketing at a blistering pace, an inflation contagion about to run rampant throughout the manufacturing complexes of the world, these things just don't go up by themselves. They'll bring all costs of everything up. The cost of most everything is probably about ready to explode. In my opinion, you ain't seen nothing yet. Can we count on oil companies increasing oil and gas production to meet the shortages? Good question. Answer, probably not. And the reason is that restarting oil and gas manufacturing is not like turning on a light bulb. It takes months and millions of dollars to bring a mothballed refinery or oil-producing complex back online. Even if they could do it or wanted to do it, oil companies don't want to do it. They are hesitant to do so because they're afraid once they fire them up and spend all this money to fire them up, that Washington's going to shut them down again once the crisis passes. So we've kind of made our own little hole here. All in all, it's a complete mess and about to get messier. There are those that are saying the U.S. should move even faster towards clean energy now that all this has happened, and that may be a valid point. But to make a significant dent in the current supply, demand, pricing problems we have now, caused by all these many factors that I have mentioned, the truth is right now, we just don't have the time. We have to get some sort of energy relief quickly, or we're all going to be even hurting even worse. Okay, we'll be right back with the final segment of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniberti. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Money Matters. In the final segment today, in this part of the show, I want to talk about something called a fixed annuity. Now, in times of prolonged market crashes, some of you may grow weary of falling balances and subsequent stress of seeing hard-earned money disappear down the rat hole of Wall Street. And some of you may pull out of the market altogether or only get back in after many months or even years of a rally, which will finally lure you out to have the shadows to tip your toes back in the market, and you'll probably do that at the wrong time. Markets usually have a tendency to run up and then fall, and investors really kind of give up at the wrong time. They give up way too late, and then they get in way too late. Not always, but rinse and repeat a few times, sell too late and buy back in too late, and you end up giving more money because you are unknowingly off on your market timing. The stock market, by nature, will take back some gains from time to time, and even gnaw into your principal if crashes are nasty enough, like the ones we've just had. And for those investors that lose sleep when times are bad, There's another way to possibly participate in market upswings, yet never expose your principal to negative performance. In other words, you don't have to risk your principal. It's 100% guaranteed. It's called a fixed index annuity. It's a product sold by an insurance company and is basically a contract between you and the company. The annuity, at least the one that I look at, offers a 1% annual interest tax-free, which is 7.2% over the entire seven-year contract. It's a seven-year tie-up. And so you get 7.2% minimum tax-free until you withdraw it at the end of 7 years. 7.2 is not fantastic, but it's guaranteed to be added to your principal. So there's no loss of principal. It's not FDIC insured. It's insured by the underlying insurance company. Okay. Now, if it was only 7.2% interest, I wouldn't even consider it. But there's an added feature they call market participation, and it works like this. On the day your contract becomes valid, you've given your money, you signed your papers, and the day the contract becomes valid, the S&P 500, which is a big stock market, is measured on that day. It has a number every day, and during the market, when it's open, it moves. And then exactly 12 months to the day, it's measured again. If the S&P index is higher, your account is credited a portion of the increase. Might be a quarter, a half, three quarters, whatever the contract says at the time. Once credited, it can't be taken back no matter which way the market goes in the next 12-month period. So they measure it on the same day every 12 months. If it goes up, you get a portion of it. If it goes down, they don't take any money back. So it can only be a stair step up. It can never go down. If the market crashes by any amount, the money you made from the previous period is not taken back. You remain at the higher level. And then if the market does crash, that lower number where the S&P falls to is your new number. So if you wait another year and the S&P rises from its crash but doesn't even get back to where you bought it, you still get a third of whatever the increase was. So it's always a stair step up, never a stair step down. They measure at the end of every 12 months. And usually you can take out 10% a year as in case you needed money with no penalty after the 13th month. Now, I will tell you, they have early withdrawal penalties. If you take out more than 10% a year, they're going to bang you. And the early withdrawal penalties will decrease year after year. So if you take more money out in the first year than 10%, you're going to get the stiffest penalty. And then if you take out more than 10% in the next year, the penalty goes down a little bit until it goes to zero in the seventh year. So you never put in money that you're going to need. But you can take out 10% a year in the starting in the 13th month. There are no fees if you don't violate the minimum withdrawal limitations. They don't take any fee out. And the contract, again, is not guaranteed by the FDIC insurance. It's guaranteed by the underlying insurance company. Okay? All right. The participation rate can change on every year anniversary. They can change the participation rate. So you got to review all the terms and conditions of an annuity and make sure you completely understand how things work. Okay? In conclusion, a fixed index annuity may be suitable for investors that want their principal guaranteed and don't like to see downside movements, okay? All right, that concludes the show today. Again, you have been listening to Money Matters. What show was this? What did I say? It is show, I've done so many. 346, entitled Inflation, War, and Oil. And remember, today's show is not meant as investment advice. Consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions. I hold California Insurance License OL34249, and the opinions expressed in today's show are mine and mine alone. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.